It's awesome sitting here in the Sirhan office, Sirhan team office. Yep, I don't know Sirhan if it team. Has a name.
Yeah, the Sirhan team office.
We're in Soho in New York right now. I'm sitting down with Ryan. No. Ryan is not here, but we have the second best thing.
Yeah, so we'll say second best.
Is it creative director?
Yes, cool. Right now it's creative director.
So Ryan's creative director, Adam Hemway, my good friend, Patriots aficionado, New England coaster. what's your dog's name?
Maxwell.
Yeah, Maxwell.
He's the greatest dog in the whole world. He has an Instagram. It's Maxwell Lewis Kev.
So we kind of became friends, I guess, online on mm-hmm. YouTube, Instagram, social media stuff. Yep. And then you made the big jump to New York City. And we did a little bit of work together. But just you getting here was the big step, right? Do you feel like that kind of changed things forever?
Yeah, definitely. And like we did the internship. That was actually like what really kickstarted it, because that's what kind of got me to know like Sarah and Chris and all those people, and made me feel like a lot more comfortable in the city and like actually like be able to make the leap. Mm-hmm. I left your apartment in March, and then I moved here in August. So I had like
it's been really quick.
Yeah, it was quick, and then that year went by very quick.
Yeah,
that was like the quickest year of my life.
So you moving to New York City was a huge catalyst, and then you just hustling every day, shooting, editing, providing as much value as you can to people who needed an on-the-fly video editor, mm-hmm. shooter.
Yep.
I think you bounced around to a couple different people, but each with more, you know, each job was getting better and better, and we could see the growth in your work. So what was the timeline of different people that you worked with?
So I originally started out doing it with, I started doing it vlogging for myself, but mm-hmm. that was before I met you, just because I had nobody else to vlog for. I was living in Cape Cod, which if anyone knows is like 30 minutes outside of Boston, like coastal town, not a whole lot going on in the winter. Mm-hmm. Sorry if you're going to probably pick up.
Nah, these mics are good.
And then I like did the whole Gary Vaynerchuk reach out to everybody in the world on Instagram DM. I got connected with John Henry, who was an entrepreneur in Harlem, did a lot of speaking gigs, venture capital stuff, like talking about startups.
So Gary fan, we got a Gary fan.
Yes,
here.
Gary fan. I mean, D-Rock was like the kind of the kick I needed that actually like proved that it could actually be a business.
You
can actually
make money. What point did you start following his stuff? Was it the videos or was it the books or was it?
I got caught up when, so I joined this startup. This was back in 2016. Yeah. I joined a startup called VidPal.
VidPal.
And what it was is connected videographers, creatives to people who were looking for like, short vlog videos, walkthrough tour videos for real estate, stuff like that. So I jumped on there as a co-founder. We went to an accelerator in Seattle. We spent a summer there, just learning pretty much the basics of starting a business. I wasn't doing any video work per se. I was just more connecting videographers and things like that, just because I felt like I had a knack or a creative eye that I could tell if somebody was a good fit for somebody else who was looking for business videos.
So there's the work, there's the portfolio, and then there's the personality.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say it's 50-50. Like, people will always get better mm-hmm. if they push themselves to edit every day, shoot every day, get better as a creative. But then there's that underlying foundation of, are you a dick or are you like a person that can actually hang?
Exactly. And I mean, even for the person when you're shooting, you have to have that connection with them, like that comfortability, like
they trust.
The trust. It doesn't come right away. Thankfully, with Ryan and John, I connected. Like we just hit it off right away.
Yeah.
And like the whole Gary thing, like I started off with every client doing free work. I just think that's like the easiest way to get your foot in the door, prove value, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But yeah, it's. I mean, it's. It's incredibly important to have that like connection with the person you're filming, because I think, and a lot of people say in the vlog comments that Ryan and I going back and forth having conversations, that they like that because it makes it feel more real and not as production like, if that makes any sense.
Okay. So you kept Is there a name for someone who shoots video and edits solo?
There is. I mean,
Raptor.
People call it, they call them predators, which is not really a name that, they call predators because producer editor. Not really something I want to be called on the street. So,
That's definitely going to be the title of this episode.
Adam Hamway, the predator.
But it's definitely a thing. Some people come from weddings. Some people come from doing real estate.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a total thing. Before, I feel like it was just photos, but now people care about video.
I think it's a lot of it has to do with just like people are so interested in seeing the behind the scenes of someone's life and how they operate and how they schedule their day and the people, how they could like have conversations with people, just more of like the raw behind the scenes look, especially like working with Ryan, I knew that he was on TV. He's been on $1 Million Listing for 8 seasons now. So he had that persona locked in and everyone knew him from the show, but they never really got the whole behind the scenes, like close to Ryan feel. So I thought it was a huge opportunity there. And we jumped into it for 2 episodes. And then I remember he was sitting right where you were. And I showed him the first episode and he just like looked at me. He was like, this is awesome. This is exactly what we were looking for. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, we hit the ground running from there. And that was, I want to say 8 months ago. We started in February. It was February, yeah.
You seem more confident.
I think it helps that people actually see my work now and I can get feedback from it. It makes everything a hell of a lot easier. Mm-hmm. At first I was doing like super raw without a whole lot of cinematics, and we were getting a lot of feedback at the beginning that they wanted more of like showing where we were and showing more of New York City and more of like the nice apartments instead of just Ryan ranting. So I think the confidence definitely comes from getting feedback, hearing people's opinions, and just adjusting from there, because that's really the name of the game. The vlogs definitely look a hell of a lot different from 1 to we're on 37 now. Like it's changed with time and people's opinions and what the audience wants to see.
Ryan was doing TV for a while,
mm-hmm.
and he has an entire team for real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Was he doing video before you?
Or, no.
Or what does that look
not
like?
Not personal video. He was, I mean, outside of the show, he wasn't really doing anything like other than Instagram stories.
So was this something that you kind of pitched to him, or was it like a back and forth?
So he's had Joe Loresca here, who's mm-hmm. been here for, I want to say he started like 4 months before I did.
Yeah.
And he's kind of just helped Ryan navigate through the digital space. Like we were starting a vlog and like all those kind of like collabs and things like that, just to get his media presence up and running outside of the show. Because again, that was like something he was just so locked into, was that show persona. And anybody who watches reality TV knows that there's like a lot of drama and things like that. But there's a majority of Ryan's audience, they really wanted to see like the real estate focus, the business focus, or how to build a team and how to stay motivated, things like that.
Damn. So what was that first week like? It was probably a little stressful. There's always figuring out the boundaries of what I can or cannot do.
Exactly. And I think like even to this day, the whole like boundaries thing, like I always feel bad like going into a meeting or something and filming when there's people there who don't necessarily understand what's going on. But I think especially with the setup that I use and I kind of fly in the wall like you do. I wear all black all the time. So it's a New York City vibe. Yeah, I just hide myself in the corner, stay out of the way as much as possible. And but though it was with Ryan, I feel like our personalities meshed so well that we hit it off in the first few weeks. I was pretty comfortable saying, okay, let's talk more about this, or let's push on this a little more. And then as the weeks went by, I would hear him having conversations about something and it would click my brain like, okay, that's something that I think we should dive more into and the audience wants to hear more of.
Yep.
Especially when it comes to like building the team and working with other agents and things like that, just because real estate is a very different business model than everything else. It's kind of hard to explain. I can dive into it a little bit, but the brokerage model is there's one big brokerage, and the one that Ryan works under is Nest Seekers. And then there's Ryan, who has a 60-person team under him of agents and a few admins and things like that. I don't know where I was going with that, but yeah, it was he. So the model is a little bit different than just like a Gary who's a CEO of a company or an ad agency or something like that. So a lot of the stuff that we can't, there's a lot of stuff that we can't film, like pitch meetings and things like that, new development meetings. But now it's actually people that, the new development contracts specifically have kind of flipped and they want me to come through. They want to like start documenting the process of the building coming up. They want to start documenting the branding meetings of a building while it's under construction, things like that. There's one building in particular in Harlem, which is going to be an incredible building. I think it's like 170 units or something like that. And my third week, I believe, on the team, I was in a branding meeting for them. We talked about, they were talking about the design of the building and how they want to make it more of like a, aim it towards a younger audience and things like that. So it was kind of cool to watch the progression of that. It's going to be done in, I think, February of this year. So like the building's called The Smile. It's very creative branding. We're going to make a whole like Harlem tour video about it and things like that. So it's kind of cool to see the whole behind the scenes of how these massive buildings in New York come up and how they're branded and who they're aiming towards.
Yeah. So this was kind of a intro level course to real estate for you, I'm sure.
Yeah.
New York City is probably an insane market.
Yeah.
Way different than everywhere else in the US.
Yeah.
Ryan was in TV. So do you think he kind of learned in some sense for social media? Because it seems like he's more keen on, you know, posting as a personality in himself rather than most people who... So do you feel like there's been some growth on all sides or...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there's... With real estate, there's the real estate agents who just post listing photos and things like that. Okay, I have this building in Soho. It's $5 million and it's a picture of a living room. Mm-hmm. And they post that on Instagram. But Ryan really wants to give like his personality behind it and his opinions behind it and things like that. Kind of just give it more of a personal touch rather than it just being kind of just an Instagram page filled with like living room photos.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so the Instagram is actually, it's funny how that works because his audience... right off the bat was so female oriented because a lot of the people who watch Bravo are a lot older females.
Yeah.
So it's been sort of I wouldn't say a struggle, but a time consuming process to transition that audience into a younger, more like real, like more agent focused, that kind of stuff, to show agents that, okay, you can do these little media tips, hiring a vlogger, doing walkthroughs, giving your personality behind these listings. And that's been kind of a struggle, but I think we're starting to like turn the tide now because the YouTube channel, our main audience is like 18 to 34 year old males and females, much more younger audience. And I think that came because our first four vlogs we did with Gary because we were at Agent 2021 in Miami. So we siphoned a little bit of his audience and stuff like that. So, but it was a really cool experience working with Gary and seeing the team in their natural habitat with Agent 2021. And Vayner Experience they're awesome and they put on great events. So that was a cool experience for sure.
So let's switch gears and talk about gear. What are you shooting on? What's that look like? Has that changed or did you get that right from the start?
I got it pretty much right from the start. I shoot with an A7S Mark II with 24-70 2.8 and a Sennheiser Lav, which he's mic'd up for almost the majority of the day. I'll jump over to shotgun in certain situations. Mm-hmm. I always have it in my bag, but that's pretty much my setup. I've debated the last couple of weeks. I've definitely been debating jumping into the whole city realm, but it's a lot, and it's a lot bigger, it's a lot heavier, and it commands like more when you walk in a room with an FS5 or an FS7 or something like that. You immediately draw way more attention than having just a handheld A7S.
Yep.
But I really want to get into eventually more cinematic, high quality things like that. Sorry.
Yeah. So that's motion. That's maybe affecting the light, but it's so hard with run and gun. Getting the moment happen at the exact moment with real emotion or reaction is almost always trumps the cinematics. But
And I mean, when we're filming, we start pretty much right when Ryan wakes up. We usually start at the gym. He goes to the gym every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And it's not the best thing for me, waking up at 5 in the morning to film, but it's part of the gig. And I mean, I pretty much just film everything from start to finish. And then I will pull every single clip that I think is even remotely usable now or in the future, and I'll drop that onto a timeline.
Yeah.
That way, when there's an editor in here 7 years from now and they want to make a documentary, everything's on the hard drive already pulled for context clips and B-roll.
Damn.
It's a lot more work in the short term, but I know, like, long term, it's going to pay off.
It's a bit different than my situation where I don't keep any raw footage at all.
Yeah, and I keep all of it.
Yeah.
We shoot 4K every single day, so it's a good amount of footage. I think we're on like hard drive number 4 right now.
Damn. So what has changed since when you started to now, whether it's the shooting or editing process?
I think definitely the editing process, for sure. I mean, shooting, for me, it's always been capture everything and then figure it out later. But editing, I used to do when we first met and first started working together, I would just pull whatever clips I thought we would use, and then everything else would go to the trash and just get away from me. But again, it's more of like a long game for us, and down the line, we definitely want to make like long form documentary style videos and things like that. So this is a much, much better way to go about it.
Yeah. And it's possible. It just takes a little bit more space, whether a cloud or hard drive. Yeah. That's crazy. So it sounds like you're doing a lot of documentation. You want to get more into cinematics, which I would describe as planned.
Yeah, planned, more story, drama based, not really documenting, but telling.
Prank videos. You want to be a prank channel?
No, yeah, I want to be a prank. I'm gonna be like, yeah. Oh
my gosh. Sirhan prank channel.
Sirhan pranks. We ride around in bird scooters and prank people.
Wow. Yeah. So that's crazy. Yeah, it's interesting to see all that. And you've been pulled along as he's gotten press. It seems like I've been seeing your name around way more, especially with other YouTubers. Mm-hmm. So I think he's been working with Eric a little bit.
Yeah,
so
we did a little series with Eric. And we do like walkthroughs of some of the bigger listings we have. I think we started off with a $60 million apartment in Chelsea, which was our first one. And that got a huge kick right away. That's at 2 million now. And then we did another one, which is at 1 million, which was a building down over by the park called 157, which is a gorgeous building right on the park. And then we did a collab with Sarah. We're going to do a few with some LA creators and things like that. It's pretty much just letting everyone know that Ryan's doing this, and you can learn a few things, especially when it comes to sales and real estate. Mm-hmm. Real estate specifically, when it comes to like building teams and things like that.
Yeah, it's all connected. Mm. So do you find time to make your own stuff?
No.
You're a busy guy.
No, I mean, it's not that I don't have time. It's almost that it takes a lot of focus away from the other part. And
you're dedicated.
Yeah, I'm dedicated. And I mean, I think I had a conversation with D-Rock actually a couple of weeks ago about the same thing. And he's in the same boat. He doesn't put out any of his content outside of Instagram and Twitter and things like that.
Yep.
But it's hard to focus. Like, I wouldn't even know really where to start creating my own content. Like, I don't think I have a whole lot to talk about. I'm not a huge fan of being in front of the camera, but I think eventually we'll move over. I like doing articles and things like that. The New York Times article that they wrote on John and I was huge for my career. That was that kind of just solidified that this could actually be something that I could put my full time into and actually make a career out of it.
As a face to a genre of filmmaker.
Exactly.
Filmmakers are rock stars right now. Exactly. So.
Yes. That's a good thing. I like hearing that.
Word. So you mentioned having an editor. Are you still, you're selecting selects, but how involved are you with the edits of what's going out and what is going out? Like, what does the format of the series look like?
For the vlogs, it's pretty much all on me. I pretty much do all the vlogs. There'll be like a week or two here and there where Adrian, who works with us now, steps in and either shoots or just edits footage when I need a little bit of a break, because we're on week 37 in a row now. So
jeez.
After a while, it's like you just need like a week off or something like that. But he does a lot of the micro content on Instagram and pulling little clips from the vlogs and pulling quote cards from the book and things like that. So he's been huge. He's helped me out tremendously, and he's so motivated, comes in every single day ready to work. We really, really, really lucked out with him.
So let's talk about the man we came here to talk about, the driver. Yuri should have his own show.
Yuri will have his own show eventually. Expect on the channel. Like, he is just such a character, and just like absolutely loves what he does every day, and just has such a, like, a bubbly, funny personality. And when we start, like when we started, there would be a lot of times where Ryan goes into a meeting and I'm sitting in the Escalade with Yuri for a couple hours. So we just, it's funny because when Ryan's in the car, he's doing a lot of like conference calls and things like that, and working and emails on his phone. So Yuri doesn't have a whole lot of people like to talk to. Mm-hmm. But when Ryan goes in for a meeting, Yuri will talk for four, like every minute of those 2 hours that Ryan's in the meeting, he will be talking. So we did a little spin-off series in the vlog, Russian with Yuri.
Yep.
And people really liked it.
It sounds like it needs to be like an actual thing.
Yes.
And when you see all the late night shows, I don't know, that pizza place that was next to whatever, Jay Leno, I don't know the specifics, but there always seems to be like some character that comes out of nowhere that people love almost as much.
Yeah.
For some weird reason.
It's just because like, it's his accent, but it's also like his personality is just so fun, real. Yeah. And like, he just loves what he does, and he just takes the best out of every moment and drinks a ton of vodka.
Yeah.
Not when he's driving.
Yeah.
That should be noted.
He's funny. So what else is in the pipeline? You mentioned live stream, podcast stuff, live in general, or is there any other avenues that you're interested in for him or yourself or whatever?
Well, for Ryan, we're definitely going to start jumping on the stream game. Hopefully once a week, just to give him the opportunity.
Fortnite.
I wish I could get Ryan to play a video game. It would be great content.
I know Gary was trying to do that for a little bit. He built a little man cave in the office.
They have a little gaming studio in there, and they have people coming through.
Yeah. So podcast, talk show kind of stuff. It makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot. I just want to get more into like community engagement, having people be able to communicate directly with him. Mm-hmm. We've been doing more Instagram lives throughout the day, things like that. And we're also going to, he's doing a podcast with iHeartRadio. And we're going to spin that into more of a video series as well, where he brings in other entrepreneurs who have built businesses from the ground up. Mm-hmm. and just talking about their experiences and the things they learned along the way. So that we're going to turn that from not, instead of just being a podcast on iHeart, into like a video podcast.
Yeah. So you talked about demographics a tiny bit, mm-hmm. a lot of women, 18 to 35, but it's different on different places.
Yeah.
What types of people have reached out to him that you've noticed and also like reached out to you? Because I'm sure there are some shooters, editors, young and hungry, trying to reach out and be you.
Mm-hmm.
What's that been like? People reach out, messages?
Yeah. I think it just comes with the territory. When someone sees you spending this much time with an individual like that, then it's almost like an easier avenue approach to get to that person. So we get a lot of people, not as many shooters and videographers as I expected.
Mm. Well, they're all busy DMing D-Rock.
Yeah, they're all in D-Rock's DMs, but feel free to jump over. We're always looking to fill some positions.
yeah, because that's got to be part of it. You'd probably be a great teacher for someone who wanted to do what you're doing, because you're in it.
Yeah, it's really cool, because especially being able to work next to Adrian. Adrian is kind of came from the same like hustle, like work your way into a position and prove your value. And he's been great. And I mean, we like run ideas by each other consistently. He sits right next to me. We're always like, hey, like, do you think this works? Do you think this works? So it's really a team effort. And, he's been incredible.
Cool. So are the Patriots going to go to the Super Bowl?
Yes. The Patriots will going to the Super Bowl, and then we'll win the Super Bowl. And then I will go to my 10th parade back in Boston.
You heard it.
We've had a good amount of those, which is always nice.
Let's say the goal is you want to be at the Super Bowl when they're playing and winning. Oh, I think that would be that'd be a life-changing experience.
And that'd be a great vlog too. We should get Ryan. Yeah. Ryan, we got to get on that if they
in
go
the
to the Super Bowl.
Box for the Super Bowl?
Yes. Ooh. With the crafts, that would be nice. Yeah, Tom Brady is just the greatest human being in the history of the planet, so...
And that is the end of the episode. We did a podcast episode, and you listened to the whole thing. Thanks for listening to this interview with a fellow creative. It was fun seeing The Office for the first time, linking up with him. Alex and Bhavan, and we're just chilling in the outside of the boardroom while we were recording this whole thing. 30-minute episode. It was good. We definitely went outside and rode around on some bird scooters that they had in the office afterwards. So that was a blast. And it's fun being in Soho, just doing New York City things. But yeah, thank you for listening all the way to the end. I want to know who you are, and I would love and appreciate any feedback. Share the episode on Twitter or however, and make sure to tag myself and Adam so we can see that appreciation firsthand on our phones. And to at least say thank you for listening and sharing. Let me know who you want on the podcast. I like to showcase other creatives doing cool things. Of course, give my friends a voice and catch up. It's really fun recording podcasts. So I'm going to keep doing them. I like to do the solo podcasts, but then also these creative interviews. So let me know who you want. And even better, what really helps me out more is if you get people on the show for me. Help me out. Let them know that you listen to the Craig M's podcast and you want them to be a guest. So harass them. Bother them until they get on. If enough people do, it's very likely. So whoever you want. Okay, I'm going to stop rambling. Thank you for listening. Peace.